This morning, the title is Guilty of Negligence. The most famous diamond in the world, the Hope Diamond, is 45.52 carats. Ladies, keep your elbow to yourself. Don't poke your husband. It might be a little bit out of his range. Let me explain. Describe the most perfect blue diamond in the world is one of the most highly prized gems on the planet. Its estimated value is $250 million. The diamond has a notorious reputation being cursed. Not true, but that's what they said. It has a long record of history with a very few gaps. And it changed hands numerous times. It was discovered from India, and then it transferred to France. It owned, originally owned by the Louis XIV, and then went to Catherine the Great in Russia, then moved to George IV, King George IV in Britain. Eventually end up in America. Everything end up in America anyway. Despite the diamond's enormous value, sometimes the owners are rather eclectical that they don this precious gem on the dog's collar. Why dog's collar? I don't know. But eventually end up in the hands of the diamond merchant, Harry Winston, who donated this gem to the Smithsonian Institution. When he donated, he didn't just hand-deliver this precious gem, but he just put him in the box, wrapped it with a brown box, sent it out in a first-class mail. There is the envelope. I was not joking when I said that. He spent $2.93. He insured $400. Really? Anyway, can you imagine being a person opening that box on that morning? You open it up, there's this glistening blue diamond. Now, the Hope Diamond is sitting on the display behind a bulletproof glass in the National Museum of Natural History. Now, listen to me, please. There are two things more valuable than Hope Diamond, but often neglected. Do you know what they are? Number one, the gift of salvation from Jesus Christ. Number two, the command, the order that comes from the Word of God, from God Himself. Many times people neglect. Like that merchant, Harry Winston, just put that $250 million diamond in the package and wrap it with a brown bag, send it out with a first-class mail. This morning, I believe that our Lord is going to spend some time with us, explain how not to take these two gifts lightly. Rather, we should take them seriously. I'm going to explain to you why I'm talking about this later. Let's stop and pray. Heavenly Father, gracious Lord, we come to you asking you to explain to us why we should not take your word and your gift, your salvation through Jesus Christ, we should not take it lightly. Father, in the busyness of our lives, we often take the grace and mercy of God for granted, and not knowing that, not thinking that it cost the life of Jesus Christ. Father, speak to our heart that we may understand, we may even get a glimpse of your reason. Let us come to know Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, more intimately. Father, we pray for President Obama that he may also come to know Christ like we came to know him. that he may turn his heart to you and stop doing evil things. And we also pray for our troops who are in harm's way. Wherever they are, keep them safe. And on lifting up the law enforcement, it seems like 2014 has been a deadly year for our police officers. Father, we are asking you to put the hedge of protection around them and also praying for the firefighters. We pray, and also we pray that we are asking the Holy Spirit to give us anointing, especially the one who speaks. And we are asking you to put your word in his mouth, not his own opinion. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 2 in the book of Hebrews, please. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. I want you to notice that word, drift away. The late Dr. J. Vernon McGee, one of my favorite Bible teachers, and some of you guys know, have heard of him. He said this, whenever you see the word therefore in the Bible, you must need to know what that is therefore. The word therefore here is to connect in what we learn in book of chapter 1 of book of Hebrews, talking about superiority of Jesus Christ over all the prophets and the angels. As he's going to teach us more about it in the chapter 2. We need to pay attention in what the verse says here. It tells us that if we don't take earnest heed to the things we have heard and learned from the Bible, we will drift away from the Lord. Please remember that this book of Hebrews was not written for the unbelievers, rather written for the first century Jewish Christians. I believe that this applies to all of us very well in the 21st century. He's speaking about the danger here, not of the neglecting our salvation. What does it mean, neglecting? See, he was not talking about rejecting, but neglecting. He was not talking to the unbelievers to come to know Jesus Christ, but to the believers to encourage them to pay attention to their great salvation and the command they have received from the Lord. Are you with me so far? That's the two purposes we must understand. Listen, more spiritual problems are caused by the neglect than blatant disobedience. Let me explain. The original Greek word drift away is parareo, and its idea is to slip. And it often used for the arrows slipping out of the quiver or the food slipping into the windpipe causing choking. It happened easily without knowledge. I'm sure you know what it's like getting choked up with the food. You didn't know it's going to go down to the windpipe. All of a sudden it's just slipping to the windpipe. Now you cannot talk. All you can do is choking. One summer day, long, long ago, when the earth was crusting, I was a college kid in South Korea. Yeah, that happened long ago. I was in the one-man rubber boat at the Korean Sea. It was I paddled out to about 30, 40 yards away from the shore. And I was enjoying the sun and put the paddle in the boat and lay there and dozed off. I woke up, guess what? Shore is no longer 30, 40 feet away yard from me. It's way out there. What happened? There's two things I did not do. Two things. Number one, I did not anchor. Number two, I did not paddle. Did you get that? Unless we anchor our faith in Jesus Christ, we will drift away. Second thing, unless we continue to work in our Christian life, we will drift away. I say this when I was teaching the marriage class and talking about marriage thing in my sermon. Marriage is like riding a bike on the hill. You have to continue to work on it. If you don't work on it, you continue to paddle on it, you will go backward. Same thing. Your Christian walk with Christ, you have to continue to work on it. You will drift away. Do you know how to make the house go bad? There was a person who actually left entire inheritance. He didn't have any family, so he left entire inheritance to Satan. Now, how are you going to give that inheritance to Satan? Do you know what the judge did? He said, don't do anything to his property. Just leave it alone. Let it rot. By law, by his verdict, nobody could touch his property. His house became shamble. Everything became shamble. Same thing. If we don't work on our Christian life, our lives will drift away from God. Are you with me so far? No born-again Christian wake up in the morning and say to oneself, I am going to be a backslider starting today. Nobody do that. But it starts with not doing what we are supposed to do. Our backsliding always comes from the slow drifting by not praying to the Lord daily, not reading the Bible daily, and not fellowshipping with God's people regularly like this. And it does not happen suddenly. As the followers of Jesus Christ, we must anchor our faith in the Lord, as I mentioned, and constantly do the things that are required to walk closely with the Lord. Go down to verse 2, please. And for if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression, I want you to note that word, and disobedience, note that word as well, receive a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect to create a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with the signs and wonders, with the marvelous miracles, and various miracles, rather, and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. See, words spoken through angels meant the Old Testament law. We have to wonder how the angel got involved with the Old Testament law. There's a cross-reference verse that comes from the Acts chapter 7. So go there, please. Acts chapter 7, verse 52. Acts chapter 7, verse 52. Stephen, speaking to the religious leaders of the Jewish people, and he spoke this before he was stoned to death. He was full of spirit, full of the Holy Spirit, and said this, verse 53, who had received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. See that? Now, is there any other verse? There's some people who said that Deuteronomy 33, 32. But I looked at it and I wasn't quite sure. It doesn't matter whether I understand how the angels were involved with the Old Testament law. Bible says it, that settles it. Are you with me on that? When the Bible says it, that's the end of the story. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or you understand or not. It just ends the story. The main point here is not about how the angels got involved with the Old Testament law. Rather, it is about the importance of a salvation message that was given to us by the Son of God, and how much the Son of God is how far superior to the angels and to the Old Testament prophets. I want all of you to pay attention to the two words that I mentioned in verse 2, transgression and disobedience. I know you guys heard this word so many times in the sermons, so you can say, yeah, it goes in one ear and then after the other. But let's take a look at this more carefully. Transgression refers to the sin of commission. Sin of commission, which means the willful violation of God's law. But disobedience refers to the sin of omission, which means a willful refusal to comply with God's command. Since we are living under the grace of God, some believers think that even if they are sin against the Lord, they can escape the chastening hand of God. Somehow they think that God's going to wink at them with the grace and mercy and love, or don't do that again. Come back and do whatever you want to do. No, it doesn't work that way. You see, no prophet or no angel died for our salvation, but the Son of God did. If we willfully continue, let me put it this way. It's one thing for you to sin, because we are sinners. Are you with me on that? Anyone who is not sinners, you and I need to talk. We are all sinners, we sin. But it's another thing for you to willfully, continually sin the same thing over and over and over, because you say to God, I'm going to do it anyway. That's a transgression. It's like a daring and challenging and neglecting the great gift of God, salvation, and His command. Our sins are much worse than unbelievers' sin. Even it's the same thing. You know why? Because we should know better. Because we have the command of God. Unbelievers, they don't know. Especially the one who don't come to the church. But if you've been coming to church and you continue to disobey God, you continue to make a transgression against God, then you are responsible for what you do. And you may say, well, prove it. I'm glad you asked. Go to Luke chapter 12, please. Luke chapter 12, verse 48. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of the stripe, shall be beaten with a few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed of him, they will ask the more. In other words, the more you get to know the Word of God, the more you are responsible for what you do and what I do. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me and listen to me well. We are living in the age of the culture of death. From abortion to euthanasia to the racial confrontation, including killing the police officers. So-called Reverend Al Sharpton, who repeatedly made the police look like the enemy, and even led a protest where cops were shouted down and insulted and encouraged to murder them. As far as I'm concerned, those two police officers in the NYPD, their blood is on the hands of Al Sharpton. And he called himself Reverend. I have a few words for him, but I'd rather not say. If that's not enough, listen, this is the tragic things that I see. The history of Washington National Cathedral, I'm sure you heard this place, a privately owned and operated Episcopal church, allowed the first ever Muslim prayer service on November 14th last year. His title is very reverend. I don't know what is required to be very reverend. His name is Gary Hall, said he's the dean of the cathedral. He said that the sound of midday Muslim prayer or a beautiful sacred language in a beautiful sacred place. Shame on him and shame on that church. It is exactly the same thing what some of the ancient Israel kings brought the foreign idol into the holy temple and brought the sacrifice to them. How dare do that? The Christian church belongs to Christ, Jesus Christ, not some foreign gods. And you're thinking, are we supposed to love them? Yeah, we're supposed to love them, but we are not supposed to compromise our faith in Jesus Christ. This is not going to get any better in year 2015. Not only will it become worse, but it will become only worse. If you do nothing in your walk with Christ, you too will drift away from the Lord. And you have to have a strong determination to stay closely with the Lord. Not from the distance as Peter did, end up denying Jesus Christ for 3 times. And pray to the Lord daily. I said this second time. Pray to the Lord daily. Read the Bible daily. And have a fellowship with the godly people regularly. Remember, being undercover Christian means that you don't want to be acknowledged with Jesus Christ. Don't you ever be an undercover Christian. Matthew chapter 10, please. By the way, I'm going to put this on the record, on the whatever. Muslim and Islam is not peaceable religion like some political politicians say. It is not. You read their Quran, especially in the surah, book of surah. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, our memory verse. Therefore, whoever confesses me before man, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before man, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. I want my Jesus Christ to tell God the Father, He is with me. I know He's far from qualified, but He's with me. He's stuck with me. I hope that all of you are in that category. In verse 4, back to Hebrews, we find another very important truth. According to Mark chapter 16, Jesus said, since we are in Matthew nearby, Mark chapter 16, verse 17, please. Mark 16, 17. These signs will follow those who believe. Signs and wonders, miracles. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4, talking about signs and wonders and miracles. Please note that miracles and signs and wonders that God brings forth is to confirm for those who believe according to His will, not according to the demands of the believers. Much damage is done by those who think that they can just demand to the Lord and He is obligated to do whatever He was told to do. I know some charismatic brothers and sisters think that they can just tell God what they want and God is supposed to do that. Not according to my Bible. At the same time, there are many Christian Protestant denominations think that that's past. God no longer exercises His miracles and signs and wonders and no longer dispenses the gift of God. Yeah, He does. And they do admit the gift of the Holy Spirit about the teaching they do have. But healing, miracles, no. Really? Now we have from the... God is kind of giving selective gifts now? Where do you find that? Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't know which one is worse. Denial of a miracle of the gift of the Holy Spirit or the... fleshly counterfeit of them. As far as I'm concerned, as far as the Bible is concerned, both of them are dangerous. Go down to verse 5 of chapter 2, please. For He has not put the world to come of which we speak in subjection to angels, but one testify in a certain place, saying, What is man that you are mindful of him, to the Son of Man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with the glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all the subjection, all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. But he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. In chapter 1, the author of the book of Hebrews explained to us about the deity and superiority of Jesus Christ over everyone. In chapter 2, he's talking about humanity of Jesus Christ. Through him, we receive the atoning sacrifice. We must understand and acknowledge that the fact of Jesus, fully God and fully man. And he was not a half God or half man, like a half and half for the milk. It's not like that. Don't think that he was man on the outside and God inside. He was 100%, he contained 100% human nature as well as divine nature. He was God, and he added human nature on top. And unbelievers would say, that is impossible. Absolutely, that's why he's God. We cannot even pretend to be. Many people who do not know anything about all the religions around the world say, well, can we not just coexist, get along with everybody? So you see the bumper sticker with the crescent and the cross and all these different symbols. Let me say it this way. All the religions around the world do not teach the same thing. They said, well, all religions lead to the same God. They do not. And nor do they want to coexist with other religions because they denounce the others. If anyone thinks that God of Christianity should have a broader mind to accept everyone, is that person is insulting God. Insulting God. You don't want to do that. In fact, if there is any other way, do you think God the Father would send his Son to die on the horrific cross with all that pain and suffering? If there is no other way to clear that sin that mankind committed other than the sacrifice of his Son, guess what? That was the only way. And it had to be done by the sacrifice of man, but not just any man, sinless man. Angel could not do it because they did not have they don't have a physical body. And any human could not do it because we are born with a sin. We are sinners by nature. We are sinners by choice. Go to Matthew chapter 26, please. Matthew 26, verse 39. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus, he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup," I want you to pay attention to that cup, "pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." What is this cup? What is this cup? And I believe that it's a cup of the wrath of God. And Isaiah called it a cup of his fury. Go to Isaiah 51, please. Isaiah 51, verse 22. Thus says the Lord God, the Lord you and your God, who plead the cause of his people. See, I have taken out your hand, the cup of trembling, the dreg of the cup of my fury. You shall no longer drink it. Cup of his fury. You see, Jesus tasted the death for everyone. He had to be the recipient of the wrath of God in our place so that we could be forgiven of our sins. There was no other way. There's no other way. And now, do you see that how valuable, how important the gift of salvation is that we have in Christ? Jesus had to die for our sins. Let me say this to you. I don't know where you are spiritually. I know majority of you are born-again Christian, but some of you may not. Remember I said that there are two sins, two types of sins, sin of commission and sin of omission. Sin of commission is the one you are violating God's command. Sin of omission, as I said, not doing what you're supposed to do. Now, here's the thing. Salvation, when you say no to Jesus Christ, not accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you're just committing the sin of omission by saying no. Salvation is available to everyone without any qualification. Serial murderer, Ted Bundy, received a salvation from Jesus Christ. In our eyes, he should never be. He should be in the deepest hell, receive the worst pain. But God extended his mercy toward him. If Osama bin Laden said to Jesus Christ, "Come into my heart," do you think he would be saved? Yes. If you think that you can make your way to heaven because you are a good person, you just deny Jesus Christ. You commit a sin of omission. Are you with me on that? It does not matter how good you are. Your righteousness, as we study in the book of Hebrews, your righteousness is a filthy rag in the eyes of God. You reject the salvation of Jesus Christ, you're sending yourself to hell. We're going to finish that story a little later. Three applications. Number one, we cannot and will not obey the Lord and His command as long as we think of our salvation lightly. Think with me. Let this be your New Year's pledge, or whatever you want to call it. I know I'm going to stay trim, get off this all the fat food, donuts. Don't eat that donut. Just kidding. Eat, please. That only lasts short time. But let this be your New Year's pledge for yourself. Take salvation seriously. Take the Word of God seriously. Second application. God's commandments remain as command to us, not suggestions, even if we don't like it. Second application. Pray to the Lord daily, read the Bible daily, and fellowship with God's people regularly.